Well, we're still unforgiven. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, all right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do a prayer line, and I'm going to anoint every head with oil this morning before we even start preaching. Y'all better get in it. If you come to church expecting something from God, you can't draw water from a well unless you dip into it. Don't sit there and not dip into what God's got for you. If you've got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Mark. Mark chapter 2. We've been in a series talking about forgiven. And I just seen a need that there was a lot of the times we get sermons and we're talking about forgiveness. And we're talking about how important that it is to forgive others and to forgive ourselves. But I hear very little talking about how we're even capable or able to do that. And the only way that you're able to forgive anyone is if that you recognize and know that you're forgiven. Church, you can't give what hasn't been given to you. Father, this morning I need your help. In a bad way, I need your help. When we talk about forgiveness and being forgiven, I don't want to preach a gospel that can be contorted, twisted up, misrepresented, misunderstood. And we all know that God loves us. But I don't want you relying on God's love for your forgiveness. This is why. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mark 10 says it like this, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Titus puts it like this, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Do not get confused, church. Yes, God loves you, but you can still go to hell with him loving you. The church, we're getting sidetracked. I believe in God's love. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for God's love, we would have never seen Jesus Christ. But it's not because of God's love that I'm going to go to heaven. If it was only left up to God's love, there would have been no need for Jesus. If all it took was for God to sit on his throne and say, oh, I love creation, they'll get it. If they don't, we'll just bring them home anyway. If that was the tale, if that was the story, if that was the gospel, there would have been no need for Jesus. There would have been no cross. There would have been no death, burial, and resurrection. There would have been none of that. So I don't want you getting it confused. Yes, God loves you, but you can go to hell with God loving you. You got them now, Jesus. You got them. It'd be a false gospel if all I preached was God's love without repentance, God's love without forgiveness, God's love without Jesus, God's love without the cross, God's love without the burial, God's love without the resurrection, God's love without confession, God's love. It would be a false gospel. The Bible says that we're charged to rightly divide. That the Word of God is sharp like a two-edged sword. And it will pierce deep. There must be an act of forgiveness. And this only comes by way of grace through faith. Jesus said that no one even comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. You think about that? Have you thought about that? Do you know that is why it is so complicated to bring someone to know Jesus Christ and have them confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus without first speaking the gospel? Oh, they might act out. How many of you have done it? You just got caught up in the emotion and you ran to the altar. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. And you leave and you live like hell. With no remorse. No second thinking. No second thought. Can I tell you that if you come to this altar, or you sit in your seat, or you go to the bathroom, or you eat dinner, I don't care where you're at, and you give your heart to Christ because God drew you, you will not live like hell without something in the back of your mind going, "Nah, you already know that was wrong." Because when we fully accept God into our lives, God sends His Spirit to dwell in us. And it's by His Spirit that we grow into salvation. Your spirit is saved immediately. Everything else, oh, it's getting there. So you didn't come in here holier than holy this morning. Sorry, bad news. You come in here going, "God, keep working on me. God, thank you for still working on me. I'm just glad that He ain't give up on me." I'm gonna tell you, if anybody could ever wore Him out, it'd be me. But He ain't give up yet. How are we drawn? We're drawn by the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. How are we saved? We're saved by grace through faith. I ain't got the scripture yet. This is something He wanted to put out. I don't even have notes for the sermon. This is just something that hit me. So I'm going to give it. You're getting it. You have to eat it with long teeth or whatever you eat this morning. By the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. How are we saved? We're saved by grace through faith. How do we get faith? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Stop telling me that God loves me and I'm going to go to heaven and you're doing nothing about it. If you've not asked for forgiveness and you've not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've not been drawn by the Spirit of God, my friend, love or not, I'm going to say it again, you're going to hell. See, this might not be a message for everybody in here. Might be a whole lot of people on Facebook that needs to hear it. Without Christ, you're going to hell. "Well, that pastor, he don't preach like..." Yes, I do. I'm telling you right now, it's because of God's love for me that I was even available for Him to draw me. It was by His grace that I had enough in me to recognize the draw and come to know Jesus on a personal level. Don't get that caught wrong, because he's still my king. So he still gets reverence, and he still gets honor, but he's also my friend. Pastor, what's this got to do with what you go say? I don't know. That's the end of what I wrote. You clear? Did I make it clear enough for you that you can still go to hell even if God loves you? Did I make it clear? Do you understand what I'm talking about? God give you a doorway to come into eternity with him. That doorway's name was Jesus. And everything I read, if I don't confess it, if I am not drawn by God, there's no relationship, there's no open door. Pastor, we gonna get into better stuff this morning? Yep. Here it come. Hang on, Pastor, go preach. It's been a while since I preached. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And I'm going to go through this, and I highlighted a couple things I want to talk about, and then I'm going to let you go home. Jesus forgives and heals the paralytic in this. And starting at verse 1, he says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house." I don't know about you, but I like to go visit when God's in the house. "Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them." Not even near the door. I wonder how many of you have ever went to hear Jesus. And by saying that, I know most of the time when we go into prayer, you talking. But I'm talking about how many of you have ever gone to hear Jesus. Hello? Still works, right? That's a good one. How many of you have ever went to hear Jesus speak, and when you got to the door, you didn't have access? Maybe when you approached that door and you went to turn the knob to go into Daddy's house, and right before you reached for the door, there was opposition, and there was stuff that was repelling to you, and there was things that was written on the door. Maybe it was your past experiences. Maybe that was written on the door, and you felt unjustified. Maybe it was past sins that flare themselves up in front of the door when you want to go and talk to Daddy. And there's that past sin that causes you to believe that there's no room. I can't get in because this is what I'm seeing. And you're hung up. You're stopped because of adversity at the door. Maybe it was because of the way that you treated someone and it was written on the door. And you couldn't get in. You could not break through. Can you imagine entering or attempting to enter Jesus' door, to walk through and go sit at Daddy's feet, and you can't seem Holy Spirit, you went right there. He put a pen right there on you. Because we've all been there. We've all approached that door and went, man, God don't want to hear me. I've still got this thing that I can't get past. And it's keeping me. Because you feel like you're not good enough. You feel as though everything in your life is worse than the goodness of His power and His blood. We give too much credit to things that we do and not enough credit to what He done. Amen. Tweet that one. I got a feeling this morning. And the very next thing He says, and He preached the word to him. Well, I just told you how you come into a personal relationship with Christ, didn't I? Were you listening? You know, everybody said, I ain't going to hell. God loves me. You didn't hear any of it, did you? He began to preach. That's what it said. He began to display the gospel so that the people in earshot could hear the word, so that faith would be generated, so that they would believe the draw. Then they came to Him. Then they came to Him. After they heard the gospel. After they heard the word of God being proclaimed. Then they came to Him. Bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Some of y'all need to tie yourself up with four good people. Holy Spirit, don't let my eyes stop on nobody because it makes them uncomfortable. Just keep my eyes moving. Let me get right back here. And when they could not come near Him because of the crowd, remember now they trying to go through the door. They uncovered the roof where He was. Holy Spirit, help me here. They heard the gospel. Faith got stirred up. They went to go. The doorway was blocked. They said, boy, you was way too heavy. We ain't carrying you back. You walking back today. So they had to climb up. Now in the Bible, if you do some research, they talk about the rooftop. They're flat. And they got staircases on the outside of the home, so they had to carry him up the staircases. I didn't want you to get confused thinking that they had to climb over the... They climbed up the steps. They took him with them. This is what faith will do. Faith will make you go to higher levels. Oh, if you want... If you really want to talk to Jesus, do you really think that the devil ain't going to try to play on your emotions and tell you you're not worthy, you're not good enough? Don't you remember when? Sometimes we got to go, wait a minute, there's got to be another way. So they take him to the rooftop. And they begin digging. Because see, mud, and sticks and straw and clay. See, this is where most of us fall out. Because you got to get dirty. We worry too much about how pretty we are. You ought to come preach us this morning for them. Yeah, you ought to just preach it and let them know. They can't handle you, can they? But they began to peel back the roof. They said, oh, there's another way. See, all of the dirt, everything that's been laid before me, God took care of that. God took care of that. God took care of that. I'm going to see Jesus. I didn't heard. God going to take that. God going to take that. God took that. God took that. God took that. And by the time you're done, there's this big hole in the roof. That's what happens when Jesus throws a party. He tears the roof off. There's this hole when they let this man down. I just want to make sure we stay in Scripture. They uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, how many of you need to break through? Come on, you got stuff that's holding you down so tight with chains right now. There's some things that you're going to have to do, and faith will make you go higher. It demands that you go higher. You've got to go above circumstance. You've got to go beyond your issues. You've got to break through sometimes. It's not just as simple as walking straight in and talking and going into prayer and coming out and thinking everything's okay. Can I tell you, if you go into serious prayer with God, when you come out, things are going to be different. You're going to see something different. It's this thing of, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord, my soul. It's over. You've got to grow in Christ. You've got to begin seeking God's face for new things. It's not just the boogeyman under the bed anymore. No, it's not. It's my marriage. It's my job. It's my relationships. It's not just a boogeyman under the bed. You're 40 years old. You figured it out. There's not one under the bed. You've got to break through. If you spent 30 minutes with God and you didn't get a breakthrough, you spend 5 more minutes. You didn't get a breakthrough, you spend 5 more minutes. You didn't get a breakthrough, you spent, come on, church. See, you got to stop this little 1 minute, 2 minute microwave stuff, and you're wanting to find out, why am I having so many issues in life that I can't get past them, or I can't get over, or I can't get through? Yes, you can. Get out of the microwave. Put it in the oven. They let the bed, another word for bed was a couch. Some of you get off a couch. That was anointed. Which the paralytic was laying. Now look, when Jesus saw whose faith? How many people we got? I heard the word. How many people we got? Somebody said 4. Don't know who you are. But let me tell you something. I've heard it preached this way, and I've always seen 4. Oh, this is why I'm going to tell you, if you don't spend time with God and His Word, and you don't allow the Holy Spirit to soak His Word in you, you could be led astray and never recognize it. I've been in church almost all my life. When I was a hellion, I got away. But the whole time I was brought up for 18 years, I was in, and it ain't like some of this pansy stuff that we do now. Well, the kids have a test tomorrow. I let them stay at home. Dude, my mom said, boy, you better get your book bag and come on. Revival Monday through Thursday. Mom, I got exams on Friday. Pray that God will lead you, boy. Was in church. When Jesus saw their faith, don't know if you've heard it this way, this is how I've always heard it. It was the faith of the four men. That's a lie. When Jesus saw their faith, and this is why I can tell you this was such, because you got to read the rest of Scripture. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, make sure y'all reading the same scripture I am. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. To believe that your faith gets me salvation is impure gospel. They don't like it because I bust religion right in my mouth every time. I try to knock his teeth out every Sunday. Your faith can't save me. So it couldn't have been the four guys' faith. I don't care if you like it or not. Your sins are forgiven you. How is your sins forgiven you? How are you saved? Thank you for the saved ones. You're saved by grace, through faith, nothing of your own works. By grace, through faith, you are saved. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. How is he forgiven? His faith. And if we back up, this is almost like, see, this is what you miss on Wednesday night. You just miss me going crazy. I just go all over the place. We'll have a couple more here on Wednesday night now. Or maybe somebody just consummated that deal and said, not going on Wednesday. Then they let the bed down, the paralytic was lying, I want to back up even further. And he preached the word to him. Then they came to him. No one comes to me except by him who sent me. You're only drawn into salvation. You can't work for it. I don't care how many. You can go to church 52 weeks out of the year. Guess what? They heard the word, then they came to him that drew them. Agitated, aggravated, whatever you want to call it, their faith. Made them go to a higher place because they were stopped at the door. They opened up the roof. Jesus looked up. Jesus caught them. I can see it now. Jesus says, I like your style. Because that's what I've done. When I come out of heaven, I dug through all of your sin, through your issue, through your hurts, through your pains. I dug through all of that dirt to get to you. I like your style. Maybe that's what I should have called the sermon. He said to the paralytic man, son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Listen to me. If you're going to allow what people reason in their hearts to dictate whether or not you've been forgiven or not forgiven, my friend, grab you four people that can believe with you and keep you in the faith and that's willing to take you to the one that can be the one to forgive you. Stop surrounding yourself with these people that all they want to do is put garbage in your head. All you hear is garbage out of their mouth. All you see is garbage in their life. And you're hanging out wanting to know, why am I still laying on the mat? Because they ain't took anymore. They're leaving you at home. They're leaving you home on the couch. See, you miss church again? Just think about that one. I'm at home on the couch. Pastor ain't gonna like that one. Welcome to Wednesdays. But they were sitting and reasoning in their hearts. Can you imagine what the scribes were reasoning? Well, you don't even have to imagine. Let's read it. Let me tell you what they were reasoning. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? See, if Jesus wasn't the man that Jesus said that he was, he would be speaking blasphemy. So they were right. They just didn't know who he was. Like many of us. Oh, we think we know him because God knows my heart. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right. Only God can forgive sins. Now, if they would have knew that he was who he said he was, they would have never tried to worry about it. They would have said, amen, preacher, preach on, preacher, like y'all were doing me this morning. Y'all preaching me down this morning, wearing me out. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? See, we've been talking about this. This is a heart thing. You're not saved because it's a heart issue. You are saved because it's a heart issue. Thank you. Glad somebody's awake. It's awesome. Which is easier? Jesus is just a flat-out maniac. I mean, this guy is off the hook. I mean, he's sitting in here with all these religious folk. See, I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm going to be a maniac because I'm in here with all these religious folk. And he said, what's easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or arise and take up your bed and walk. Oh, man, I can see, and he went. He dropped the mic on him right there. He said, what's easier? Hey, religion, what's easier? For me to say your sins are forgiven or to tell him to get up and walk? You pick. Man, I just, see, y'all look at Jesus as a sissy. I'm sorry. And Jesus say, all right, what do you want me to do? See, rewind, stop, play. When he looked at that paralytic man and he said, your sins are forgiven, can you imagine how you would have acted? Could you imagine how the other four reacted? What he just say to him? He said somebody's sins are forgiven. I mean, that's all cool and everything. Can he heal him while we're here? See, sometimes God will give you what you need and go over what you want. Water, give you a moment to think about. How many times has God stepped over what you wanted and give you what you needed? How many of you haven't recognized it yet? I'm going to be born more like Jesus. You can say, honey, I want, and I'm going to just go right on by what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you a hamburger or something. You don't need no new car, or new house, and new this and new. I'm going to go around and give you what you need. Give you a Snickers. Anybody got a Snickers? Hey, Shay, give me a Snickers out of that pocketbook. Look at your neighbor and say, Wednesdays are fun. See, you can't push pause and rewind and hit play. You can't do that. He said, which one you want? Which one's easier? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said, you know what? I give you a choice. I know it's a hard choice. It's a hard choice to say which one's easier. I know it's a hard choice. But what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and do the hardest of the two so that you'll know that the Son of God, I got what it takes right here to tell him that his sins are forgiven. He said, you ready for this? Get your popcorn. Go ahead. I'll wait for you to refill. You know, don't you hate that, man? You go to the movies and you want popcorn. Man, it's going to be a good part. I don't. And you kicking your wife. Go get some popcorn. And then we end up sending the kids. Woo, but they gone now, so it's up to me and her. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man is all that. Boy, can you, you bunch of self-righteous religious people, can you imagine? They're sitting here looking at this guy, and he looks over at him and he says, take up your bed, get up and go home, get up and go home. And they're going. But see, it's just like church folk. See, what you ain't recognizing in Scripture, every time that Jesus was doing something, he was doing it in front of the religious people. He was making them so mad. But yet he done it in such a way that they should have believed with their eyes. But it's not an eye thing. It's a heart thing. Sometimes it's hard to believe what you see, ain't it? Can you believe that? You ever said that to anybody looking at something? Can you believe? Well, it just happened. I don't believe she said that. She just said it. It's a heart thing. It's not an eye thing. I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. It's a word for somebody right here. Just right here. You listening? Are you listening? See, some of you ain't come to get nothing. This ain't me speaking. This is God speaking. But you didn't come to hear that. You come to be entertained. Wrong house. This is a word for somebody. You listening? Just can't get past it. Holy Spirit, do your thing. Just do it like Jesus done it right here. Oh, if that ain't good enough, then let me go ahead and do this. Here it is. I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. See, here's the problem. You are so hung up in your past sin and your past guilt and your past condemnation that you can't get past the idea that he said you were forgiven and all you got to do now is get up and go to your house in the presence of them all, in front of the ones that said you'll never do it, and the ones that kept the doors blocked on your way in. God makes it in such a way that you're able to be a witness for him just in your walk.
That's right.
I can see people moving. Listen, Christian. See, now I'm not talking to all of you. Listen, Christian. You've been forgiven. God said, you throw your shoulders back. I told you to pick your bed up. And I told you to go to your house. That's what I told you. Now you throw your shoulders back and you walk like you've been forgiven. Man, we don't do that. We're so sheepish. And we want to know why we can't draw nobody to Christ. Because we're not eager enough. Because we don't anticipate God's move. Because we don't expect God to do things today that he done yesterday. We're scared that if we say we're going to have a healing meeting on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, come and be prayed for, that God's not going to move and nobody's going to be healed. Well, guess what? He's not. Come on, Christian. I'm almost done. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So that all were amazed and glorifying God. They glorified God saying, we never saw anything like this before. What God is doing in your life is not for your benefit. It's to glorify him in the presence of others. So a lot of the problems that we have, we go, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing to ask because God says to ask, but a lot of the problems that we have when we go to him, it's always about us. Yes, I believe God wants you to be healed. Yes, I believe God wants you to be saved. There's a purpose for both of them. And what we've done, We've stood back. I don't want to be so graphic, but man, we got a big old... We took a big old drink. And we spit it in the face of grace because we've accepted a gift that we're unwilling to open. We won't share with others anymore. We go to church for self-help. See, you thought I was a motivational speaker. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you this morning, but I'm not a motivational speaker. I know him. I can do that. I'm not. It's all good. It's okay. We want self-motivation. See, you got to come to church so that others can push you to serve God. What? How many of the big boys throughout the Bible would have failed miserably if they depended on other people to push them to serve? Oh, come on, Moses. Come on, Abraham. Oh, Paul. Peter. Oh, can I give you a little bit of just, I'm not this guy. I don't really know all that stuff. But I did read this portion this week that a lot of theologians are saying that that's Peter's house where all this is happening. Come on, Peter. That boy's in the show again. I love that dude. There's hope for me. Man, that ought to just flat excite you when you know that you can be Peter and still do what Peter got to do for the kingdom. Man, there's still hope for me. I'm excited. I can't wait to preach that one sermon instead of throwing away 3,000. I bring in 3,000. It'd be great. We never saw anything like this. I believe if we walk a faith-filled life and we walk it with an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, that there's going to be seasons in our lives that people that we expose ourselves to are going to say the same thing. I've never seen anything like this. Can I ask you a heart check question? Has anybody ever told you? You're saved? You. Come on, man. You used to get turned up. Tore out the frame. You remember them days and you got... Anybody ever said that to you? Does anybody recognize a different walk in you? They ain't seen you for a couple, 2-3 years. They happened on you. Hey. And you talk for a minute and they go, something's different. I mean, I know you was a Christian. Something's different. I ain't never seen nothing like this. Because you're growing, because you're maturing, maybe your attitude's different, maybe you've changed your responses, And they say, I can't put my finger on it, but I've never seen nothing like this before. Can you imagine the witness that you got? Boy, that door. Swung open wide. And the Holy Spirit's going, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. Oh, if you preach the gospel, I'll draw. Preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. Quit talking about a football game, preach the gospel. But you get to witness to somebody. And you do get to let them know how much God loves them. And all in the same witness, you get to say, but if you don't accept Christ. Because see, John chapter 10, got the chapter. Jesus says, I am the door. Yeah, he does. Y'all read John chapter 10. Read the whole chapter, you'll figure it out. But it's in there. Maybe John 10 something. 14. Check me. Somebody check me. 10:14. Well, if I hit it, we're done. If I don't hit it, we're staying. We're staying. We're staying. Okay, well, go to 15. Go to 15. Go to 16. Oh, go to 7. Go to 12. Ha! I'm going to mark that up for success. See, y'all can't look at it like I can, because you don't know where I've been. I'm sweating. You know, I like to make joke a lot, and I like to have fun. And I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm going to preach God's word the best that I can preach it. And I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit convict you with his word. There's better preachers. But can't none of them do me. I wouldn't be a good them either. So please don't compare me to one of them, because I can't get there. God's got me in a place, and that's where he wants me. I don't want to be in this series and the Word of God not affect somebody's life. Because if that's the case, all I'm doing is entertaining. And I don't want to do that. Because see, if I don't show up good next week, you won't come back the week next. See, I always got to outdo. Man, that's all. Oh. Anytime it's up to you, you always have to outdo. If I don't outdo last week, you ain't going to show up next week. If I rely on the Holy Spirit, I ain't got to worry about it. It could be the dry sermon to 999, but to one person, life-changing. And then I get to go home and say, Debbie, we made the covenant. We said, if not but for one. Have you figured out yet that you are and that you can be forgiven no matter what? No matter what. You can't be bad enough. And I did tell you at the beginning of this, don't use this for a license to sin. I did tell you that. Go back to the first and listen. It's not a license to sin. But if you're truly saved, you don't want to sin. See, if you, I'm not saying that you won't. That'd be false gospel. I'm just saying you don't want to. Your desire is different. For me to go out and be caught up in a bad day and I done forgot who I was in Christ and forgot that I was a preacher and I bellied up to the bar and got told plumb out the frame and went and done something stupid. Other than that, doesn't mean I'm not forgiven, and it doesn't mean I can't be forgiven for it.